Tina Pizukti, Alexa Piliutak, and Kaur Bauer. Thanks to Concordia University, Southern Quebec Inuit Association, and CKUT 90.3 FM. Tune in this time next week to Urban Indigenous Radio. And we will be back March 16th. Stay tuned for Soul Perspectives. Coming up next.
CKUT's members are invited to attend our annual general meeting on Wednesday, November 24th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Zoom. Go to the link on our website for all the information, including how to submit a member motion and details about CKUT's various committees. Email agm@ckut.ca to register and get the Zoom link. We hope to see you there.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
We got them gold blunts, 24 karat gold blunts, huh? Them cold ain't for a whole month. Ballin' with my salary, get on my level. Don't even try to say hello. I see you shaky like jello. I'm using caution like yellow. Stay cool like flip side of pillows. I'm feeling this instrumental. It's hot like a tea. Low key is flossing like dental. My flow will with your mental. Infectious, need you some dental. Virgo, bitch, I never settle. I am the queen. Do you mean killing the scene? Stacking the green. I got the ask about me. If you can't see, I said I'm the queen. Now you need to put this on the pedestal. You know how it could. Got a demon at the pedestal.
Do you know that you got a 24 karat plum? Put your name on it. Put your name on it.
that you got a 24 karat blood with your name on it, with your name on it. Do you know that you got a 24 karat blood with your name on it, with your name on it. Do you know that you got a 24 karat blood with your name on it, with your name on it. Benzo make you wiggle, the fanny pack got that jiggle though. Haiku gives me wet dreams, them edibles are hashed.
More than Marion, baby, the ball that she carry all time. Woman cry, when give us life. And she begging forgive us the sin and then sinners all time. Whoa.
So them I go make war before we free. What them I go make war before we free. So them I go make war before we free. What them I go make war before we free.
Tie my neck, chip it on work. Bind me to tree, I survive the whiskey. With the crack, scar me from back. Soon we go see who survive, make I free.
So them I go make war before we free. What them I go make war before
make
we free.
Follow, follow. People they know they follow. People they know they copy. People all up in my grotto. They see me like a genie, try to keep me in a bottle. Petty, petty people keep them incommunicado. They tie you up in strings and play niggas like pizzicato.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. It's another Tuesday evening, and you are tuned into Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3. FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and this evening we have an artist that is joining us all the way from Calgary. Goes by the name T. Fanny, and she's a Calgary-based hip-hop artist that basically grew up in Edmonton. T. Fanny, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to be with us on the air in Montreal. I know you're like 3-4 hours behind us, so that's always a little bit tricky.
Of course, thank you.
No problem. So like, obviously we're still in COVID times right now, and we just like to check in with our guests before we get started into, you know, all of the officialness of the show. How are you doing? How is COVID treating you? How has this been for you?
It's funny because it's kind of starting to only get to me now, oddly enough.
Really?
Yeah, I think I was just fortunate enough to kind of start my music career during COVID. Like, as soon as I started doing shows, it was March 2019 when I first touched the stage.
Wow.
And decided, okay, I'm going to do this for real. And then, you know, from November, December, then March hit 2020, and it was just, that was it from there. So I kind of, I didn't have ways set as an artist of what to do or what not to do. So I kind of just kept going, even though it was COVID. I was like, let me find other ways. And I went online and I did open mics like all over the world, just because you could do that online now, and just networked like crazy. And I didn't know what I was doing, but it worked out.
So basically you adapted, you didn't have a choice but to adapt to the times. So unlike some of the older artists that had to like take a break because they were trying to figure it all out, you just went full force into it.
Right. I guess like I had that advantage of not knowing what music life was like pre-COVID pretty much.
Right.
Yeah,
that is interesting. I haven't heard that kind of, no, because I have friends, we have a lot of guests that have come on and talked about it, and you know, the first few months was a little bit rocky for most folks, and it's interesting to hear that, you know, someone else has just kind of dove into it no matter what. So like, did you have to go into lockdown? You had to kind of isolate yourself, or what was the situation like?
When it first started, like in March, April, I was literally getting like back-to-back shows like every weekend. And then they just started canceling one by one.
Right.
So, and I don't know, I went straight online. I found open mics in the UK. Mm-hmm. I found open mics in Toronto, in BC, all over Alberta, in the States, in Baltimore. So it was kind of like I was being there because all of these, you know, these places were now just like, okay, well, we're just going to go and do stuff online. Right. And there were still little events here and there that were socially distanced.
Right.
Yeah, it was.
But those were few and far between.
They were very few and far between. Okay. But everything online kind of kept me going. And then I had my Tea Fanny Tuesdays that I just ended up starting, where I was just kind of doing random stuff on Tuesdays, whether it was asking people for content to do verses. Okay. And I would do just random, very foolish verses, or interview, you know, some of my artist friends.
Was this something that you would prepare, like, or was it like a kind of off the cuff improv type of situation?
The verses I would prepare. So I would ask for like input and then drop it on a Tuesday.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting. So you're kind of getting inspiration from your fan base, from your audience, in order to produce content.
It was fun to hear the suggestions, because it wasn't anything that you would think of. You know, like one was
like, what, for example?
Oysters, because we went for lunch and I had oysters for the first time in my life, which I'm not a fan of.
Depends on how they're made, though. How were they served? If it's raw, if it's deep fried. I find
it was raw.
Deep fried, I've enjoyed deep fried oysters.
So I was not a fan, so I wrote about it.
Okay.
Because they knew that I wasn't a fan, this person, and so that was their suggestion.
Okay.
Was oysters. And I think I did it to TLC's Red Light Special.
Okay. All right.
It was their suggestion. They give me the beat.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
It was fun times.
Okay. So you had Tiffany Tuesdays and what else were you doing?
I was trying to get my merch up by the end of last year.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, totally forgot. I dropped an album July of 2020, my first album.
You just forgot that you dropped a whole album 3 months into the pandemic?
Yeah, completely.
All right.
But I was with a studio, Tough House Studio in Edmonton.
Okay.
And so at the same time that the album dropped, I was like moving to Calgary and separating from that whole thing.
Okay.
So then by the end of the year, December 2020, I dropped a second album that was like all independent. I went and recorded it all myself.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no, you know, outside inputs really. It was just me like here. And then I did like skits and stuff. It was very random. It was my random brain.
Wait. You're going fast. So you produced the whole album yourself?
No, I didn't. I didn't produce it. I recorded myself. Okay. I would say I engineered it, I guess.
Okay. But you got the beats from a producer.
Right. From friends. And yeah.
Okay,
definitely.
Okay.
I tried making beats during COVID. I tried a lot of different things
mm-hmm.
during COVID because I wanted to see, one, what
it's
I could
the,
do. And
it's
B,
the best time to
I'm
do it,
for.
Right? Like you're right? in isolation.
Yeah, I learned beats are not for me. I'm just going to leave that for...
Listen, I respect that. I respect that. No, because some people, they just insist on doing things and then they're not doing it well, but they keep on doing it. And it's like, bro, pay somebody good money to give you proper whatever the product is that you need. You know, don't
yeah.
You know, you can...
I don't know. It was... I understand now. I will pay for... Like, I did my own cover arts and stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, grants, I'm not, I still have yet to be blessed with a grant. However, you know, keep going no matter what.
Yeah.
I was doing my own cover arts and stuff, but now I understand, like, these are little things that you need to, like, save up and put your money into. Yeah. Even doing the press releases and stuff, like, when I learned what a PR does,
mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I don't have the money for you, but like, I think I could do that. It's just like really tedious and a lot of work, like a lot of time. It's very time consuming.
A lot of work.
Right, but
also,
it was COVID.
Yeah. I'm also of that
kind of, I started off trying to do everything by myself kind of artist. And so kind of a jack of all trades, but if I can hire somebody to do what needs to get done and I can just focus on one thing, I'd rather do that.
That's where I'm at right now, is the next project I've been planning from time. And so it's taking time to build, and it's going to be done very correctly, as opposed to before. I was surrounded by so many great talents, like local great talents, that I was like, now that I started doing music, I have to get myself to a level. And I felt like I was just in a haste to like make sure I get to a level so that it doesn't look like A, I'm getting handouts from anybody. And B, that, like, you know, I feel worthy enough to work with these people.
But what's wrong with getting a handout?
Oh, not like that. That's like, I just want to make sure that I am where I'm supposed to be. Like, there's things that you have to go through and learn as an artist. If you take handouts for everything, you miss steps, and it crumbles in the future. We're building empires out here, you know?
Like, I respect that.
I'm not going to say there are handouts I'll take, but when I really, I don't know. There's a lot of links, you know?
Yeah.
But the links are work that you put in also.
I kind of want to focus on this handout thing. What's a handout for you? Because this is very curious for me, because I'm of the mind that whatever comes in my direction is mine. We have this expression we say in Jamaica, what a fimi can't unfimi. So, you know, if it's coming in my direction, you know, and it's put in my hand, for me, it's like, okay, this is for the purpose of moving me forward in a certain direction. So I'm curious what you consider a handout. What is that?
I wonder if it's like imposter syndrome. For me, imposter syndrome for me, because it would be something like when I first started, say it was like April 2019, and I just finished getting off my first stage. And then I have somebody like K-Riz in Edmonton tell me to hop on a show that he's doing at like the biggest venue in the city.
Okay.
And I'm going to come and perform my songs. To you,
that's a handout.
That's a handout. There's steps that I need to take, like mic control, even stuff like mic control I learned along the way, or crowd control, or putting on a good show, or walking while you're rapping to make sure that you can actually spit your stuff properly and move around the stage. Like,
okay.
I felt like, you know, but totally, like,
as someone who's seasoned, okay, let me show you how I view that type of situation. I view that type of situation as an acknowledgement of your talent and of the fact that you're actually where you're supposed to be. Because one of the things, like, I've all of the things that you mentioned about crowd control, about knowing how to move with the microphone and all of that, I'm a spoken word artist, so I've dealt with that. Like I've gone into, I have my crowd here in Montreal, and I'm so used to the crowd in Montreal that they move the way that I move, and then I go to another city, and the city is completely different. One, they don't know me from Adams, and two, their vibe is different. So I'll do things that I would normally do here in Montreal, and it's like crickets. So I totally get where you're coming from. But if someone says to you, yo, you need to come down and perform at my show, I want you to open for my show, I want you to da da da, that's, I don't think, like, to me, that it may seem like it's coming early because you're still young in your career, but I see that as perfect opportunity to just put yourself out there, because in this business, the doors open and you have two choices. You either stay on the inside, or you walk straight through it, you know? And to me, that's an acknowledgement of the talent, a testament to the, even if it's a short period of time, you still put in work. You know what I mean? Like, each,
I like that perspective. I really do. I really like that perspective.
I don't know.
Because there's sometimes too where I'm just like, I don't know. I'm very fortunate to have the friends that are around me, and I'm very, very fortunate. Yeah,
because sometimes you hear people talk about how they've been in this business for 10, 15, 20 years and they got their break at the 20th year or whatever. And it's like, but that's not the, in the artist world, that's not how that works for everybody. You know, some people get a break really, really quickly, really, really early. And, you know, there might be a bit of like, are you ready for this or not? But that's like internal work that you need to do when you're talking about performing and stuff like that. If that's what you love and that's what you're passionate about, if your gut tells you no, then don't do it. That's the only thing. If your intuition says, of course, yeah, don't do this, because you feel like, you know, a spidey sense is going off and there's a danger or whatever, don't do it. But if it's like you're not doing it because you think it's too early, well, I don't know. Even if you think it's too early, then maybe you're not ready, you know? But yeah, I see it as an acknowledgement.
Like, for my brother that I was talking about, that I would have been like, no, I'm not ready yet. Mm-hmm. We literally just shared a stage like a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, so at the King Eddie, which is a pretty big venue in Calgary.
Right.
But I don't know. I really felt like I worked my way to that. But I totally feel that, man. You changed my perspective on it. Like,
because your perspective is totally valid. Like, I just want to say that off the bat. Like, feeling like you're not ready is 100%. Like, me, there are things that I do. Now, as an artist, I'm like, I'm not doing that. And I have my reasons. But I want people to see that there are opportunities. We have this, and I've spoken to a couple of people and they're like talking about imposter syndrome. I'm like, oh, let's not get caught up in imposter syndrome. If you're in this field, it's because you want to be in the field. Now, you know, law of attraction, you know, whatever you want to call it,
intention,
things are going to come towards you in order to propel you forward, you know? And so when those opportunities come and they show up, you can leave it aside because you don't feel confident or whatever, but just know that it's coming towards you because you've put the work in and you've, like you just said, you put the intention there. So, you know, to me, it's like, it's going to keep coming towards you as long as you want it.
That's very true. Intentions are everything. Like, I picked up on a whim and went to BC last week.
Mm-hmm.
And very randomly, I didn't know what I was going to do. I wanted to go busking, you know. I just wanted to make some, link some people. And I got there the first night. The second day there, I got invited to go do a show, and got invited to go to a studio. So it's intentions are everything. But that imposter syndrome was like, do I deserve it? But I'm at a point now in my career that now I'm like, there's nothing that I'll say no to. If somebody called me to go to perform at the Met Gala tomorrow, I'd be like, yep.
Gotcha. Gotcha. There are opportunities that you need to not turn down, but I also agree that there are opportunities that you need to firmly shut the door, put the three bolts, turn the key, cement up the door. Like, there are some that you can leave them alone, but it's, I don't know, man. I'm like, no, don't feel like an imposter. It's either you want this particular thing or you don't want it. Like, but don't feel like you don't deserve it.
Don't get caught up in the negatives. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. To me, that's the one thing. Like, I have friends who are like, oh, I want to write a grant, but, you know, I don't think I can write. I'm like, no, you're a writer. You can do it. You have all the material. Just write. I'll help you if you need me to, but, and I have people who want to hire me to do the stuff, and I'm like, you can hire me, but you're going to be wasting your money because you've already done 90% of the work.
I went to get help from a friend to write a grant because he got approved for like a $25,000 grant to go study hip hop in Montreal.
Right.
So I was like, okay, cool. So we sat down for probably about 6 weeks once a week,
mm-hmm,
and just went through and did, and he did a grant and I did a grant my own. But I think the group thing, writing it helps as well. If it's just a group of you guys bouncing ideas, I'm doing this and I'm putting this in there. And there's a lot of good tips on writing it. I feel good about this next one anyways.
Yeah. Just in
but
case.
Bad intention, man. Don't. Yeah, I totally feel that.
Yeah. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time this evening, we are speaking to Tiffany, who is a Calgary based. Calgary-based hip-hop artist who, like most rap artists, used to write poetry growing up and actually never recited in front of anybody, but now is kind of slowly taking over the stages and has used COVID to kind of launch her career. We do have to take a quick break. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Violence, it ain't your fist, it's your words. Silence, all in all, don't worry about me. Call and call won't blurry what I see. Camouflage, I see all that you can be. If you drop that bloody bread and fall on your knees, cause bam, by any means necessary. Bam, by any means necessary. Bam, by any means necessary. Watch them band stack tall, cause it's necessary. Bam. By any means did you get that bag? By any means did you get that bag? By any means necessary. Watching bands stack tall, cause it's necessary. Every day, every night, let you make me cry. Never understood like I was the reason. So I creep in like in that TLC. Say I ain't with shit, friends got my heart, they leave you sick. You see, all in all, don't worry about me. I'm falling fall, but won't flurry my green. Revenge best served, I want my heart back. Avenge more like you call it a heart attack. Bam. Did you get that bag? By any means necessary. Watch the band sex hole, cause it's necessary.
Hey, you're my man. Hey, you're my man. Huh. What you did to me won't be your plan. If you don't mess with her, you see. Shut you down before you teeth another crown. Posted that class, you know you could have been that Tiffany's. You and not a niggas. You the weak one, like what is this? Ain't no you in a bomb. Chillin' over there with a bomb.
Monday's child is ever smiling. Tuesday's child will play and song. Wednesday comes with a gun. Thursday's tears have just begun. Friday's ships are filled with crying. Monday seems so far away now. Tuesday was not bad at all. Wednesday came with a flame. Thursday never be the same. Friday's ships are not returning. Monday's child is torn asunder. Tuesday's child is thrown in shame. Wednesday's child used to smile. Thursday's tears are now a now. Friday's child is ever burning. Mm-hmm.
Sarah's excited to celebrate her birthday at a restaurant. She's thought about it all week. She invited her friends. She got a new dress. She went to the restaurant. She wasn't allowed in the restaurant. She had to put away her new dress. She couldn't see her friends. And she thought about it all week.
Don't wait until it hits you. Get vaccinated. A vaccination passport is now required to enter certain public spaces. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Yes, 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 we are back, we are back, we are back. You are tuned in to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I am speaking to Tiffany all the way from Calgary. Tiffany, thank you so much. This conversation has been interesting so far. So tell me a little bit more, because you shied away from the stage for a good while before you actually decided to take that step. And if mm-hmm. If I'm understanding correctly, you took that step last year to go on stage.
2 years now.
2 years. 2 years.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Two years now.
So what, how long have you been writing?
From what I can remember, I think I've been writing poetry since like 9, 10 years old, at least. Mm-hmm. But literally, like, I have one auntie and one ex-boyfriend who's ever read it.
Read the book. Right. And yeah. Then, so what made you decide to go from just being strictly a writer to, okay, I'm ready to perform it in front of people?
When I met Kay Riz, I was 16, and I was a little late getting into hip hop. Okay. A little bit.
No worries.
So when I met him at 16, he was like, yo, you don't know hip hop. So he gave me Illmatic, and I had to, that was my homework. And that was my introduction to hip hop pretty much. Cause I heard verses here and there on the radio, whatever was popular, but I never really dove into hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, it was like Common, Nas, Pharcyde, De La Soul, you know, that was my like, ooh. So growing up watching Riz and everybody in Edmonton mm-hmm. and the hip hop and wanting to do it, I was like, well, maybe I could actually start doing it. But the stage fright like licked me. I just couldn't.
Right.
Stage fright just had me. And then fast forward to March 2019, an artist named Waze in Edmonton, he brought me to the studio to just like, he's like, oh, just do a hook. Cause he heard me like rapping in a garage with some friends or whatever.
Okay.
And he was like, yeah, you know, I heard some stuff. So I want you to do a hook for me and come back. And I came back to him with like the most wordy, lengthy hook. Like yeah. I was shooting my shot. Okay. Like,
right. Putting right. as many words into that bar as possible.
It was, I'm not a huge fan of it looking back now, but I respect the hustle of it. But mm-hmm. But he ended up doing a video, which was cool. And then he said, okay, well, I'm going to do my album release party. You have to perform. And I was like, I don't have any music. Like, I've been rapping on like Pink beats and, you know, taking like Lauryn Hill beats and like taking, I took a Shania Twain beat and rapped on it.
Right.
It was just, I was just doing random stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I took those beats anyways. And I started the show with Casanova's 2-1-1 challenge from a couple years ago.
Okay.
Right. It was very, But after that, he literally pushed me on stage. That's what it was. It was like,
okay,
you have to go on stage, and I didn't want to.
Right. And then I was about to ask you, so how'd you get over your stage fright?
I didn't die. That's like when I literally, like, I was visibly like, when people were like, yo, you did so good. I was like, you didn't see my leg shaking? Like, I can see my leg shaking. I was trembling.
No,
so,
I just like, thought it was part of the performance.
Must have. I don't know. Like, I don't know. So when I didn't die, I came off the stage. I was like, I didn't even throw up. Like, you know, I'm still here. Like, I got through it. What was I so scared of? And people were rocking with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got the response from it. Probably helped quite a bit. So
mm-hmm.
I just kept going from there. I was like, okay, well, maybe I can actually follow my dreams. Oh my gosh.
Right. He just strapped the parachute onto your back and pushed you right out the plane.
That's what it felt like.
Wow. That's awesome.
But it was well worth it.
That's awesome, because, you know, like, a lot of people, they take their time to get over stage fright. They have rituals, you know, Some people, they drink like their favorite drink before they go on stage and so on. But you were just like, no, get up there.
Yeah, that's what it was. It's like, oh, you have to prepare a 15-minute set and go up there and do it. I was like, okay.
No choice.
I brought my cousin up there with me, and she sang backup for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun. But the support was nice, too. I mean, my parents and my bestie drove all the way from Calgary for that first show. Okay. So I knew I couldn't mess up, you know? Like.
Well, the thing about what I love about performing your own work, right, is even if you mess up, it unless you go, oh crap, I've messed up, nobody's gonna, it's like that trend there on TikTok, nobody's gonna know.
Nobody's gonna know.
In your head, you're like, they're gonna know. Nobody's gonna know.
Nobody's gonna know. Nobody knows either. Like, and that's the only show where I like, well, not the only one, but one of the very few shows where I never missed a word.
There you go.
Because I was so scared that I prepared so hard for it. Like,
you were locked in.
Yeah, I was locked in, except for my legs. Like, they just failed me.
I'm sure nobody noticed. I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah. Sure that's it the was crazy all in your part, head. Though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the crazy part. That's insane to me. That's not what people are focused on.
No. No, they're focused on your delivery of the words that you strung together. I'm always nervous. Even though I've been performing for over 20 years now, I'm always nervous before I get on the stage. But the moment I step on the stage, it's as if like it's a blank canvas.
Interesting.
And I don't know what it is, because I have certain rituals that I have to do before I go to the show and do shows and whatever. I don't drink as much as I used to, but there's a certain drink that I had to have before, you know? And
that's me right now.
You know, like, I used to do all of this stuff before, and once I touch the stage, like, I'll be nervous and shaking before. And once I get on the stage and the lights are on and the audience is paying attention and I love doing what a lot of people don't like to do. I love to use silence, because people don't realize how powerful silence is. Like, if we were to just stop talking for like just 4 seconds while we're on the air, like, it would be like forever for whoever's listening, you know? And silence is so powerful. Because you can communicate so much. And when you're on stage and you, like, I had this thing that I would do if I would lose a line, I would just use the silence to fill the space where that line is gone until I catch the rest of the poem. And people used to be like, oh my God, that's so amazing. I'm like, I forgot half the damn poem.
I'm screaming.
You know? Obviously, in hip hop, you can't really do that, but there are ways to fill the gaps.
I mean, you could.
Use silence in hip hop?
Sorry, I'm over here thinking about it now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw KRS-One. That was one of the best concerts I ever saw.
Okay.
And he literally silenced the crowd. Like, jeez. And then he did his, you know, MC means move the crowd. Right. It was crazy. Yeah.
Right.
But I do have rituals. Like, I like to have my one shot around 20 minutes before I hit the stage and a spliff an hour before. However, I noticed, because I did a lot of shows this summer. We went on like a little mini tour kind of thing.
Yeah.
During COVID.
Right.
Timing. People are not all Virgos like me, so the time is a little off. So
okay.
When I go to have my shot, sometimes it'll be like I'll be waiting like 40 minutes to go up on stage, and I'll be like, but my 20 minute ritual, wait.
Right, gotcha. So you had to find other ways to get yourself ready.
Yeah, it was just like not having another like I literally just waiting it out, and then it was, to me, it was just like a waste of a shot. So then the last two shows that I did, I just don't have anything before now. I'm just like, forget it, you know.
Yeah,
I'll have a spliff on my way to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Not when I'm driving, of course. And
just to mellow things out a little bit. No, but sometimes, like, it's so funny. When I first did a recording, because I had a spoken word album, and there was a particular poem that I'd always perform with a hoodie on. And I didn't, for whatever reason, I didn't have a hoodie while we were in studio. And I was like, and I was trying to get into it, but I couldn't, like, I physically couldn't just get into it. And then I was talking to my producer and I said, you know, normally I have on a hoodie, and I pulled the hoodie down over my head and whatever. And he just went to the closet and pulled out a hoodie and gave it to me. And I just spat it, like, in one take.
That's crazy.
And there are certain things that, you know, when I think about, when I hear about, you know, these videos where they have actors who are asking for extravagant things in there, like Samuel L. Jackson, he has to be able to play golf twice a week whenever he's on set, you know, and there's actors that ask for very strange things, and then you're like, well, that's so friggin' weird. Why would you ask for that stuff? Just go work and, like, go. But then they're the ones making multiple movies, multiple millions of dollars. So there must be something to these rituals, to these things that they have to do while they're in their
element. It's
in their element.
It's balance. You know, it's probably keeping their mental health at bay too. Like,
exactly.
When I first started recording, and if I could still, when I have my own way, like when I recorded my whole last album, it's lights off, hoodie, like sunglasses on. I don't want anybody to see me.
Wow.
And I don't want to see anybody.
Mm.
But Junior T changed that for me because he pointed at me in a room full of 20 people at like a workshop thing in Calgary once.
Okay.
And I had to record a verse in front of everybody. And like, you're not going to say no to Junior T. If you don't know Junior T, he's a dope producer. Hot and fresh out of Toronto.
Okay.
He's also the tour DJ for Jesse Reyes. But on top of that, his Studio Monk album is classic. Anyways, but when he came out to Calgary, you don't say no. You're working with like a legendary producer in the making. And if he says spit a verse,
you spit a verse.
And I ended up going on my first album, so it worked out. But man, if people saw my legs trembling then, just...
What is it with his legs trembling?
I got weak legs. I skip leg day.
Oh, boy. I hear you. So in your bio, you said you had... Well, not in your bio, but earlier you said you came to hip-hop pretty late in your life.
Yeah.
So tell us, who did you grow up listening to?
Okay, pull my card. No, it was like, I mean, I was a huge fan of Backstreet Boys, NSYNC.
Okay.
I was into like Savage Garden, Green Day. I was the token, okay, in all my schools, right?
Okay.
I Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, oh my gosh. But like, I grew up listening, my parents had Kenny Rogers, Whitney Houston, and my dad would be listening to like classical music, literally like some Beethoven stuff. And if it wasn't that, then it was disco. And I'm not a huge fan of disco.
No. Okay. What's wrong with disco?
Maybe my dad killed it for me, but I don't know what it was. I'm just not a fan. I was like, play kid and play. I want to hear Crisscross, you know?
and how did you, because we as artists, we do what we know. So how did you find that transition into hip hop? Like, do you find that you've taken inspiration from, you know, the Kenny Rogers and the Britney Spears that you used to listen to, and you're kind of blending that into your work now?
I find that I'm doing that literally now.
Okay.
I wasn't doing that in my first two albums.
Okay.
I think I was so focused on, I don't know, like, if you can't see me, I have quotation marks, but quote unquote, like, I forgot the word now. Anyways, just, I guess I was just trying to prove to myself that I was like a hip hop artist, or that I could rap and do hip hop. So yeah, the first couple albums are really like just really hip hop and trap and lyrics and stuff. But this next project that I'm slowly putting together is more of my inspirations. It's more melodies, you know.
Okay.
More songs as opposed to two verses and a hook.
Okay.
Right.
Two verses and a hook. Gotcha.
Yeah, I feel like that's like the only structure that I really knew. So all of my songs were literally just like intro, verse, hook, outro. Or if there's no hook and it's just 3-minute rant.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does that mean, a 3-minute rant?
I would just go off for 3 minutes. I have one song called Schizo.
Okay.
And it's just three different personalities. The inspiration came from when Nicki Minaj did her Megatron challenge.
Okay.
And so I did all of that. I decided to do a Megatron challenge. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to put it on a real beat so that I can actually put it out. And so it's literally just like three different personalities. The first part is Cookie's the mistress. The second part, her name was Ma. She's a little in the streets.
Okay.
And then the third one is Fanny, who's like the book smart, street smart, basically T-Fanny.
Right.
Fanny, yeah.
Okay.
I was trying to pull out the personalities like how Nicki did, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
But it ended up just being a 3-minute rant on like a reggae beat.
We love reggae over here.
Yay.
Yeah. Listen, if you're just tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to an artist that is based in Calgary, hip-hop artist based in Calgary, T-Fanny. We do have to take a quick break. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
I heard they just bought a mansion. Where are they?
Hated is belated. Pulled up to the mansion like damn, she made it. Hey. Whether it's in my bed or in my face, I ain't faking. Box your blood clock down, Remy's a Jamaican. And all the groupies try to claim that we're related. I ain't got no teeth, underrated, under famous. Yeah, sometimes I kid, but today I ain't playing. All my business owners, yeah, that's why it's raining. It's raining. Most hated, created with love from afar. He said that he play with it like a guitar. Slim thick, three kids, got the brains up to par. But you'll never see me give it up, my say I'm the boss. Now it's facts that I got the cat, that's 9 lives in all. I got a gap pack, so it's back, or check it to Prague. I'm the bitch up in these streets, most hated cause I fly for free. And now we twerking with Siggy, so we don't ever stay low-key.
Watch that fan, show you what I'm about. Right away like no clicks, 5 pass with the top, yeah. Let it out, sweat it out, show me out, give me clout. Focus on my whereabouts, my ego got me well in doubt. Most hated is the lady, pulled up to the mansion like, yeah, she made it.
When it's in my bed or in my face, I ain't faking. Box your damn, that means we're Jamaican.
And all the groupies try to claim that we're related. I ain't got no teeth, underrated, under famous.
Yeah, sometimes I kid, but today I ain't playing. All my business owners, yeah, that's why it's raining. It's raining. Created from hate.
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 Created from
hate. They said I couldn't be what I wanted.
Nah. See, I don't see you give. All you do is take.
I went and bought a wagon just to flaunt it.
Yeah, but keep your eyes to yourself. Don't watch what I make.
They said I never make it. I'm not wanted.
Smile in my face, but I don't do it fake.
They said he throwing shade, but I caught it.
So all you need to go and stick to easy.
Most hated. Most hated is the lady. Pulled up to the mansion like goddamn she made it.
When it's so bad in my face.
It is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Young, black, wild, and free. Naked in a limousine. Riding through the hood real slow. I love it when I smell the trees. Party hard, sex in a swimming pool.
to change. Every time I see your face, I think of how it used to be. What I used to mean to you, or what you used to mean to me. Now it seems you're someone else, so I got to ask myself, is it me you really want, or is it loving just the fool? In the shopping mall with some girls. First I didn't want to believe it, cause it messed up my whole world. Now you're taking me for granted, cause my heart is all for you. Tell me how you gonna stand it when I'm gone real far from you.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. It's still Tuesday evening, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I am speaking to a Calgary-based hip-hop artist that goes by T-Fanny. She is a hip-hop artist, basically grew up in Edmonton, was an army brat. Her father served in the army and grew up, moved around quite a bit, the four provinces and nine cities, and now calls Calgary home. And during COVID, kind of launched her career almost full time, you know, didn't even waste any time like some of us other artists who just kind of were shocked by the whole situation. She was like, nah, I gotta make this happen. T-Fanny, thank you so much for being here.
That's an awesome intro.
Hey, you know, I try to do what I do. So when before the break, you spoke to us about this track called Schizo with the three different characters, and you kind of spoke about a little bit about mental health earlier as well. I'm kind of getting a theme here, you know, with the Schizo and the mental health. Talk to us a little bit about that. If it feels like that, at least my interpretation is that this is something that's important to you. Could you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I really want to be one of those people that are really open with like my whole journey and process and everything.
Okay.
And like even I went to therapy. I was just finishing it actually, like when I started doing music.
Okay.
Early 2019, and it helped me push through because I was married for 5 years, and so when I left my ex-husband, I had like a really bad year, man. Like it was a really, really, really bad year. And I was, okay. And then somebody said to me like, hey, you have no kids, you have no partner. You should do music. Mm-hmm. And so once I kind of started doing the music full time, I stopped doing the therapy sessions.
Okay.
But what I got from the therapy was that I can work through my stuff. Mm. Like it's communication, being open and no ego.
Okay.
You know? Just getting rid of the ego. So that's why I feel, you know, you can ask me anything. I can talk about anything. There's no ego anymore. It's a huge thing.
That's
and
interesting.
Not blaming, you know, my past self for stuff.
So therapy gave you the tools in order for you to continue working on yourself, would you say?
Yeah, that's how I felt. Like I felt like I could use my music as my therapy. Like it, writing everything down in journals, I would write responses to like arguments that I would have, because I'm a very like introverted person really at heart. So when I get into like a conflict or like you know, or anybody really, when you think of like the best responses after you walk away.
Oh God, I hate that.
Yeah, right.
So like I should have said this.
That down.
Right.
I write that down. I write it out into a whole, and then it turns into like a conversation and a song. Like a lot of my songs came from just conversations. I mean, not being able to say what I want to say.
Mm.
And in that it heals, because then a lot of times when I'm going through stuff, I can't find a song to help get me through it.
Right.
So in creating that, it was my outlet, and it's also something I can go back to and listen to get me through it again, you know?
Right. Okay. So you use your own words in order to take you through whatever.
Yeah,
whatever kind of turmoil you're going
through. I get really connected to music. Like there's like a few years ago, or when did the Kalani Toxic song come out? Was it like last year, early, like maybe a year and a half ago?
Okay.
But sure, that song like was on repeat. It mm-hmm. just, there's certain songs that get you through certain things. And so if I can't find it, I have to create it.
That is amazing, because a lot of people, well, I can't say a lot of people, but I know of folks who tune into certain songs in order to help them get through whatever situation. I also obviously do that. I have certain tracks on my phone that list, like, if I need the waterworks to get going because I'm dealing with something hard, I put on that track and it's like, boom, you know. Or even certain movies, like, if I want a good cry, right, I'll put on... Actually, not even a movie. I'll put on Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Okay.
The day with Uncle Iroh there. I don't know if you watch that cartoon, but there's this one where Iroh, who's the uncle of Zuko, he's just going through the Earth Kingdom, and he's picking up some stuff, like he's picking up a picnic basket, and he goes and he basically puts up a little altar, and he's like celebrating his son's birthday, his son who passed away, and like it rips, like it starts off so lighthearted, and he's ends up like this guy is trying to rob him, and then he ends up telling him you have poor stance, you need to like fix your stance, but then you don't look like you're supposed to be a robber, and then gives him advice, and he just goes around this town helping people, and at the end it's like he's a father who's lost his son, and he just breaks down and cries.
Yeah.
And it's like it just guts me every single time, you know. And And I'm sure with music, there are certain songs that people turn to. With art, there's certain pieces that people just resonate with. So,
yeah, like,
but that's interesting. That. You make your own. You're just like, I don't want nobody else's stuff. I'm gonna find my own. I'm gonna make my own.
Yeah, you know. Okay, you know what a good example is? Mm-hmm. I did a song about miscarriages.
Okay.
Because I couldn't find it, and it's not really talked about.
No, it's
not. It hurt.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let me put that out there. And like, I literally, yeah, I mean, I put my own personal stuff into it, but man, like sometimes if I need to take like a trip and just cry about some stuff, and then I'll put it on. But it's a song that I could never perform. No, I'm lying. I was asked very nicely to perform it once for a woman's platform.
Mm-hmm.
I did, and I had the whole like my friends were with me to help support me,
mm-hmm.
but they started crying, so it didn't really help me because we were just all crying.
Right.
But yeah, no, there's songs like that I'm like I don't hear it, I don't hear it, I barely see it on TV, but it needs to be just more commonly talked about so that girls don't know, even guys going through it too. Like it's difficult for guys to go through, so.
That is definitely a difficult thing for anyone. If they truly are committed to one another, two partners are committed to one another, and they lose a child together.
Mm-hmm. Oof. Yeah, my story was a bit different,
mm-hmm.
just because it wasn't both parties.